Hello, and welcome to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association, where we feature stories about impactful projects and programs benefiting Michigan's fabulous downtowns. This is Annette Knowles. This episode is part two of our series on downtown master plans. Our guest is Nani Wolf, AICP, an associate planner with longtime MDA supporter McKenna Associates, who will share her experience with completing a cooperative downtown planning process. Let's listen in. Well, hello, everyone. We're sitting with Nani Wolf today from McKenna Associates for part two in our series about downtown master plans. You will recall that in the previous episode of In My Downtown, we had a discussion with Nani's coworker, Paul Lippens, about downtown master plans as an overview. But today we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty with Nani to talk about her experience on a master plan for the West Jefferson Avenue area in Ecorse, Michigan. So before I get started on my questions, just wanted to say hello, Nani, and welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining me. It is really exciting. The subject matter, downtown master plans, is something that I am really, really interested in because they serve as the overall basis for a lot of the work that we do. So when I can find out a little bit more about what a particular community or communities are doing to facilitate the plans, I'm, you know, all ears, so to speak. So thanks for joining me. My first question for you, though, is kind of to set the stage for this discussion. What is your role, and what is your role within the Ecorse DDA, which is the subject matter of our discussion?
Absolutely. Great question. In 2021, I was hired on as both the city planner and the DDA coordinator for the city of Ecorse. And I should say DDA coordinator rather than director, because they're a very small scale DDA, so they don't have any full-time staff members supporting them. I am no longer in those two roles. Those are now held by Michael Betcher, who is a different McKenna employee, but I am still also the city planner for the city of River Rouge, which is just to the north of Ecorse. They share the West Jefferson corridor, and in many respects, they also share the plans to improve West Jefferson.
Nani, let me back up a little bit, because not everyone may be familiar with where Ecorse is located. So can you talk a little bit about the bearings or the surroundings of where it would be at?
Absolutely. Detroit, as we know, is massive. And at the very bottom of Detroit, in the far southwest corner, is the start of the area that we call Downriver. And part of that is because right there is where the Rouge River comes out into the Detroit River, which separates Detroit from all the communities to the south. Immediately to the south of Detroit is River Rouge, which is, but they split in the 1800s, and now River Rouge shares a boundary with Detroit, and just to the south of River Rouge is Ecorse. So they're both pretty small. You know, the average resident size is 6,000 in each community, and they are also the home of United States Steel, which is probably what they're most known for. Steel giant that was established in the 1912-1915 era and has been there for over 100 years at this point.
Wow, that's pretty incredible that there's that legacy business. But, you know, these are also small towns and somewhat industrial in character. So those obviously have available to those communities to use to improve. But we'll get to that in just a bit. So now we know where we're looking and who you are. Describe a little bit about what the project that you worked on was.
Sure. So I was involved in doing the administration for the DDA, which means doing the day-to-day stuff like making packets, making minutes, you know, the average day-to-day things, but also helping them move forward on their corridor plan as well as their DDA plan. So I should mention there are two separate documents that the DDA abides by in the city of Ecorse. One is their DDA and TIF plan, which lays out their financing, tax capture, those sorts of things. And the other one is the West Jefferson Corridor Plan. And the West Jefferson Corridor Plan is the framework for all of the improvements in the DDA, whereas the DDA and TIF plan is really that granular financing structure. So the Ecorse DDA, you know, my function was to help them make progress on both of those plans. And the Ecorse DDA was established in 2020. So it's brand new, baby DDA for sure. So they don't have a lot of tax capture right now. I think the first year we were functioning with basically a $1,000 budget. So it's really figuring out ways that we can publicize the DDA, advertise the kinds of services that the DDA can provide in terms of business support, even when we don't actually have the funds to do major improvements.
Okay. And as far as the West Jefferson Corridor plan is concerned, describe a little bit about what that project was and who, obviously the both DDAs would have been stakeholders in that project, but who else was involved?
Absolutely. So the West Jefferson Corridor plan is a downtown plan, basically, that is shared between River Rouge and ECORS. Aside from the DDAs, which were the major stakeholders in the plan, we also reached out to the legislative bodies of both communities, all of our transportation providers, which include the Detroit Department of Transportation, SMART, MDOT, everyone that's running some sort of service on the West Jefferson Corridor, and then also the residents and nonprofit groups of both communities. Especially critical were groups like Friends of the Rouge, communities that are already involved in making improvements to life downriver, as well as things like the Downriver Community Conference and marketing efforts for downriver.
I asked you a question about what made this project unique. And one thing that you described to me was that there is a sharing, so to speak, of this project. It's very rare and unusual that two communities would work on a plan together. But are you aware of any other shared history between the two communities working together on economic development?
Yes, so our communities often work together on things like grant applications for economic development in recent times. So both ECORS and River Rouge are historically disadvantaged communities. They have tight budgets, high taxes, things like that. So grant applications are really important. And oftentimes, working together on those not only increases your chance of getting a grant, but also increases the efficacy of that grant. So, for example, we applied for the Transportation Alternative Program grant, which is also called the TAP grant, for the state of Michigan to improve the West Jefferson Corridor. Through that grant, we established protected bike lanes on both sides of the corridor, a full restriping and repaving, and generally made it into more of a community feeling street rather than just, a 6-lane highway that runs right through the center of downtown. So that was our biggest recent effort. But I should also say these communities have been working together for a long time. In 1827, the township of Ecorse was established, and it wasn't until 1942 that River Rouge actually split off from that. So for nearly 100 years, they were actually one municipality and have done a lot together.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that because growing up, together as one community and then separating off, they obviously have many similarities in character. But what might be some of the similarities and differences between the two cities?
Absolutely. So one of the things that is both a similarity and a difference is the presence of United States Steel. So the U.S. Steel plant runs right along the waterfront, and it is located in both communities, meaning basically the city border runs poof, right down through the middle of the industrial plant. And I would say one of the biggest differences is that the River Rouge portion is the portion that is pretty heavy industry, meaning they are actively processing raw materials, and it actually takes up 60% of the land area in River Rouge. Whereas at ECORS, it's a smaller portion of the plant. It's really their finishing side of the plant where they start doing the final steel products. So it makes a big difference in the fact that US Steel is today scaling back. Ultimately, their intention is to, I believe, close the plant and move their operations to Arkansas. So the River Rouge side has already closed. Meanwhile, the ECORS side remains in operation because of the difference in how that plant functions. So that's something that they both share, but is also very different depending on which side of the border you're on.
Nani, let's drill down a little bit now. And if you can describe what the final West Jefferson Corridor plan looks like.
Absolutely. So the West Jefferson Corridor plan is a little over 100 pages in length, and it has several different components. So the first is an introduction and background. It also includes goals and strategies for the future, and it includes what we call the framework plan. And the framework plan really has two different functions. The first one is to help concentrate commercial and development into certain nodes. So ECORS and River Rouge are both very aware that we are shrinking communities. We're communities that used to be bedrooms. And like many around us, we have been losing population over the years. And we are aware that we are never going to have the commercial occupancy that we did 70 years ago. So the question is, how do we shrink smart? Where do we concentrate this commercial development to make sure that it, can actually sustain itself and help each other grow? So This plan identifies nodes along West Jefferson where we want to focus our efforts, and that's efforts in terms of capital improvements, but also in terms of business retention, marketing, and things like that. So we can create commercial clusters that sustain themselves. The other aspect of the framework plan is that it sets forth a guide for how we want the corridor to feel and be in the future. So this is both a visual guide talking about the types of buildings, the types of streetscapes that we think would support value and resiliency in the community, but also about the general feel and responsiveness to resident desires that the corridor should have. So really the framework plan has these two components.
Okay, I'm going to deviate a little bit from the questions that I supplied to you, Nani. So you're on the spot.
Sounds good.
I happened to take a drive because I live down in that area, and I happened to take a drive down West Jefferson the other day, kind of in preparation for this podcast, and noticed that there were some concentrations of some specific types of businesses along that corridor. What was the sentiment or feeling about what types of businesses would be appropriate for that area, or was that really not part of this discussion?
It was somewhat a part of the discussion of the West Jefferson plan, but when it comes to type of businesses, I would say that's most often in communities' master plans. But there is a general consensus under the West Jefferson plan that residents are not happy with the business mix they currently have. They're very aware that there is a lot of restaurants, a lot of gas stations, and in River Rouge, specifically a lot of marijuana facilities. And they're not having that diversity of retail, of services that they would like to see. So that was a component of the West Jefferson plan, although I can't say we specifically said none of this type of business and more of this type of business. It didn't quite get down to that point, but that's what the master plans are for.
Okay. What were some of the mutual goals or recommendations in the plan then?
Absolutely. So one of the mutual goals and recommendations is to create street typologies that the communities want to see in the future. So before this plan, there was definitely a disjoint between River Rouge and Ecorse about how their streetscape was going to look in the future. And I will mention that West Jefferson is owned by MDOT and operated and maintained by Wayne County. So there's some limitations to what we can do, but essentially the plan established three different types of streets. One would be the modern boulevard, two being a multimodal avenue, and three being a grid retrofit, and established a plan for us to apply those street typologies along West Jefferson to give it that cohesive feel, to give it that cohesive function for users on all modes of transportation, including bus, which runs along West Jefferson. One of the other goals was to actually identify these nodes, as I said, or what we call them opportunity sites in the plan, and establish draft, or I guess conceptual plans for each of those sites. So there are, you know, sketched and rendered conceptual site plans for each of those nodes for how we can spur economic development, redevelopment of those sites, and improve the commercial concentration.
Okay, and unique to these to this plan, and you can elaborate or correct me if I'm wrong, but did they also include in the standards that you were talking about for design any cooperation or compatibility between their sidewalk amenities and site furnishings?
So there is a goal to have uniform amenities and site furnishings between the two cities. That goal is a little hard to achieve. I will admit we haven't been doing the best on that. And part of that is because our furnishings are often grant funded. So for example, River Rouge has had these blue powder coated trash cans for the past two decades. And Ecorse just now got grant funding to get new trash cans. The ones that Ecorse purchased are these black, you know, wrought steel ones that really fit more into the West Jefferson plan. And River Rouge just hasn't gotten funding to replace the ones they already have yet. So there is some disjointedness between the two. But there's some other features like old-fashioned streetlights that do run between both communities.
Well, as we know, a lot of these projects are take time to implement. And so, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, baby stepping our way through. That's why they're plans, because they're typically long term to completion. So what are some of the next steps now that the plan is complete?
Yeah, so there are two major next steps that I would say are coming up. One is planning for the increased tax revenue that's going to come in the city of Ecorse. So like I said, there are baby DDA, but in the next few years, we are expecting more tax increment. And the other one is actually updating River Rouge's DDA plan to reflect the West Jefferson plan. So in Ecorse, the West Jefferson plan and the DDA plan were done in quick succession. So the DDA plan for the improvements there reflects the goals and aspirations of the West Jefferson plan, whereas River Rouge's DDA plan was done in the 1990s. So a lot of the things that it plans for don't line up with what the city has already done and what the West Jefferson plan vision is for the future. So right now we're working on updating River Rouge's DDA plan, not the TIF plan, just the DDA plan to correspond better and make sure we have that cohesion between communities.
And that's an important thing to mention is the compatibility between the downtown master plans, or in this case, the corridor master plan versus the DDA development plan. Because as we know, DDAs have to implement the financial components or the financial aspects of its plan and marry those with a development plan. So if we're intending to use TIF resources to effect these changes, then they definitely need to be included in the DDA's development plan. But Nani, when we had our discussion, you did mention one other thing to me, and I think it's also worth noting here, and that's whether or not these plans were made corollary to each community's respective overall community master plan. Has that been done at this point, or is that something that's also in the works?
So yes, eCourse's master plan was actually just adopted last week. So theirs is now fully up to date and is corresponding with the West Jefferson plan. I would also say that we have included the West Jefferson plan as an appendix to the eCourse master plan, which helps us with anything that we might need when we come into, say, a rezoning where someone's saying, hey, is my rezoning supported by the master plan? We can say, yes, and also by the West Jefferson plan as an appendix. So I recommend that for anyone that's looking to put some legal weight behind, you know, a corridor plan. But in River Rouge, their master plan was done in 2017, I believe. So we are working on an update right now to, one, add the West Jefferson plan as an appendix, and two, change the content of the plan to reflect the West Jefferson corridor plan.
I just thought of something that I wanted to share, and I think that both of these communities are very lucky to have one consulting firm available to them to coordinate this work. Because as we know, sometimes there's a little what we'll call rivalry between planning firms, and sometimes it's very difficult to make things look congruent. So it's great that these two communities are able to work together, utilizing the talent at McKenna and Associates to, you know, make sure that the what they're looking toward the future is coordinated and complementary between two communities. So that is another feature that I did want to point out. But Nani, is there anything that you feel you wanted to share that I haven't asked you?
Well, I think one thing that I would like to share is what's going on in eCourse right now, has to do with their tax increment financing. And this is just an interesting thing that maybe other communities have run into, but the city of eCourse recently established a community redevelopment district, which is basically a tax abatement district that cuts ad valorem taxes, meaning taxes on buildings, in half over a 12-year period. And it's a way to incentivize new construction and new development. And one of the drawbacks of that type of district is that, of course, it decreases your local tax revenue and therefore decreases your TIF capture. But for eCourse, since they're so early on and they're basically not capturing any TIF for the next few years anyway, they wanted to establish this district as an incentive to really get businesses feet in the door and then capture that TIF a little bit later down the road. So it's an interesting tactic. I think it wouldn't be as wise in a community that has an established TIF that's already capturing, but for someone that's brand new, I thought it was quite cool.
Oh, yes, especially in the perspective of, you know, the value of the dollars, you know, that are collected. Once you get used to having a budget threshold at a certain number, it's hard to relinquish the control over that. But from the ground up, you can understand then that the tax base would be incremental. But sometimes you have to be willing to give to get, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did.
Well, Nani, I wanted to thank you again for sharing your time and, gosh, expertise on this particular project as a case study. So often we hear the theoretical side of things, but it's really nice to kind of get, you know, down and dirty and hear, you know, something that's a little bit more based on reality of a true experience of a community's. And so I just, again, wanted to say Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association. We'd like to thank our guest, Nani Wolf, for her thoughtful comments, and McKenna Associates for contributing to this podcast series.